Welcome to Get Over It, the consciousness transforming podcast for exceptional 21st century living. You know what? Maja Dio is back, and she's talking about her, D.U., I should say, and she's talking about her latest book, The Occult I Ching, The Secret Language of the Serpent. And folks, if you have been trying to understand this methodology of divination, her book explains it crystal clear. Now, it's not a book you sit down and read from cover to cover in a week. It's a book you study, just like you would have, it's like a workbook, if you will, and you study the book and you, you know, bring it into your psyche bit by bit. But by the time that you're at the end of this book, you have a thorough and, quite frankly, new understanding of the I Ching, which we're going to delve into a little bit more. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you shift your consciousness to break through blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you let go of the BS that is holding you back. But you know, I always ask the question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience supporting people to break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing cutting-edge information that enables you to prosper and thrive. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Education Network, Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I also authored 2 books. I provide consultations and healings in all areas of life that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your best life. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or even possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, NesMoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. Excuse me. One of the oldest books in the world, The I Ching, has been used in China for millennia to open a dialogue with divinity, gain insight and wisdom, and pull aside the curtain of reality to reveal the light of the heavens. My guest today, Maja Dio, is a practicing witch and scholar of alchemy and occult lore. After completing her bachelor's degree in biochemistry, she earned her master's degree in transformational psychology with a focus on shamanism, the I Ching, and ancestors. She is the author of Familiars in Witchcraft, A Witch's Bestiary, co-author of The Secret Source, and creator of a tarot deck, The White Witch Tarot. She lives in the LA area, and you can check her out on her website, and that is witchofthedawn.com. Again, that's witchofthedawn.com. Welcome back, Maja.
Thanks so much for having me back, Monique.
Hey, it's so great to have you back. You know, last time you were on, we talked about your book. I believe it was The Witch's Familiar. And folks, you can find that, you know, on the podcast. You just got to scroll back a page or two, and you'll find it. She gave us very important and timely information. And you know, your book, The Occult I Ching. This information is truly timely for today and timely for now for us to take a look at ourselves. You know, I think it's really important that we use this as a mirror to our inner selves. So start out with, what is the I Ching?
Yes, I am happy to. It's a confounding book, and it's one of the books that is published and talked about as much, if not more, than the Bible. So it's like a biggie, you know. The I Ching is a book that contains writing, but like you said, you don't read it like a regular book. So you use it as a divination system. Before there was books of the I Ching, they had it written on turtle shells. So the I Ching was a system used to divine kind of lots or fortunes or information about all kinds of things from the ancient shamans of China. Mm-hmm. And the lines and images that they would write on these turtle shells, which they've found dating back to 6,500 BC, right? This mm-hmm. That's 3,000 years before language in like Egypt and Sumeria, basically. Mm-hmm. So to give you an idea, and these images that were on the turtle shells were the foundation of Chinese language that we know today. So the I Ching is not just a divination system. It also really provided one of the first languages that then later became the Chinese language. And as I explain in the book, it also influenced Chinese medicine, martial arts, Taoist philosophy, like kind of all these different components. So even though really the way that we use it today, you just go and you buy an I Ching book, and then you can perform divination by asking it questions, just seeing what it says, all of those kind of things. It also has this deep history for like thousands of years in China. So it's a complicated thing, which can be used simply or can be taken to extreme complexity.
Yeah, and I tend to, I guess, err on the side of complexity, because as I was sharing with you before we began our show today, that the I Ching and astrology and straight tarot readings are something that I'm working on. I call them all languages, and it's mm-hmm. about, you know, learning a new language. And as you learn a new language, you're very open to different ways of communication, and you start to see the world a bit differently. After going through your book, I started paying attention out in the world and to the lines and the dashes and all of that, and I'm like, oh, well, now that makes sense, you know?
Right?
It's amazing, yes, how deep it gets into your psyche.
Yes, it's a system for getting into your psyche. That is probably the best way that I've heard it described. It's really a tool for extracting the subconscious, and then it weirdly connects with our outside environment through synchronicity, right? So it goes deep down inside your subconscious while simultaneously connecting outside. So it's very freaky deaky. I've had more synchronistic experiences using the I Ching than probably anything else. Okay. And I've had a lot of crazy ones. But you, you know, you operate intuitively, right? So for you, a lot of your stuff is from you and from your guts, correct?
Yeah, but I'm also opening to see what is around me and allowing that to, you know, to pay attention. I always ask in my meditations for my awareness to be increased tenfold, and that's every time I meditate. So it's, you know, as you are open to the different energies, again, as I just shared, I'm seeing the I Ching all over the place and in different patterns, and before mm-hmm. I would have missed it because I wouldn't have understood what I was looking at. Now, I do, let me ask you about your connection, your personal history of the I Ching, and then I want to talk about the Bagua. But let's talk about your personal history, your personal connection with the I Ching, so people can get an understanding of how this came to be for you.
Certainly. From the time I was young, I had a connection to Chinese philosophy in China, mostly because my mother had traveled to Tibet and lived actually in the Himalayan mountains mm-hmm. in the 70s, and she went to study art. So they have this certain kind of Tibetan iconography art that they do. I don't know if you've ever seen the Tonka paintings that uh-huh. they make of like different deities. So I grew up around she had a lot of books about Tibet and China and Chinese philosophy, specifically Taoism, and how that relates to nature. So I was very into Chinese and Eastern philosophies and then began practicing martial arts. In my early 20s, I got kind of obsessively interested in Kung Fu. I started practicing at a school in Seattle, which was one of Bruce Lee's student schools, and practiced martial arts up until, you know, I still practice Qigong, but until I got pregnant with my daughters, I was pretty actively doing a lot of aggressive martial arts forms like, karate, kung fu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, kendo, kenpo, like a whole bunch of them, right?
Okay.
And then I went to school for Chinese medicine and studied the Chinese medical theory. And what I found in the martial arts and in the Chinese medical stuff, they still had this underlying philosophy. So I wanted to know, like, what are the origins of that? So it led me in a direction to the Chinese shamans and the shamanic practices, and that's where I discovered the I Ching. And then when I was going to get my psychology degree, there was one of the classes was taught by Dr. Stephen Karcher, who did a book called Total I Ching, which is brilliant, and he's like an I Ching genius. So I highly recommend his book as well. And then that was it. Like, that was it for me. I was like, off the deep end into I Ching and use it in my practice. I practice divination readings for people, which when we do sessions, with psychotherapy, it involves divination work, and I use the I Ching in that. So I've had probably close to 15 years now of experience using the I Ching with folks directly. So that's kind of, it was inundated through martial arts medicine and then later the reading practice, yeah.
Okay. Well, you've got a quite diverse background with everything, and then the I Ching, when you were talking about it to me, it was like, oh, this is center, front and center,
yes.
Like a very
yes.
Strong underpinning. Now, in your book, you talk about the Bagua and I Ching. So first of all, explain to our audience, in case they don't know, what the Bagua is all about, and then tie it in with the I Ching, please.
Yes. So most people are familiar with, you know, the yin-yang sign of the white and black circle. Even if you don't know much about Eastern philosophy, you've probably seen it on the surfboard logos, you know, or any New Age store will have it. And they'll also probably have these feng shui mirrors that you can buy. I don't know if you've seen those. They have, like, convex and concave ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So most of those have the Bagua on them, which are these eight trigrams, so they have three lines each that are different combinations of whole and broken lines. So I know a lot of people are like, what the heck are all these weird lines on the mirror? Well, the lines, which are also, they have some on the Korean flag too, so you'll see them kind of in a lot of different pop culture examples, but they represent archetypes.
Uh-huh.
So very much like a tarot card. These system of three-lined things are representing an energy force or an energy signature. So if you could imagine, each one of those little things is kind of like the high priestess or the hermit, right?
Uh-huh.
Except the kind of archetype that they are dragons, really.
Uh-huh.
And these kind of serpentine energy frequencies or waves. Okay, a lot of the early shamanic interpretations of them were like elements, like fire, water, or they had animals affiliated with them, which later turned into a martial arts system.
Uh-huh.
So if you learn, if you go do any kind of kung fu, they'll probably talk about the Bagua, right? And
uh-huh.
If you know certain kung fu, they'll do like animal styles. I don't know if you've seen any kung fu movies, but
yeah.
They'll have, like, you know, like even Kung Fu Panda had it in there, for crying
mm-hmm.
out loud, right? So it's pretty well known. But the origin of all of those is from this Bagua. What the Bagua are, they're ways that you can generate the reading, right? So it's these, basically, like it would be like if you were choosing a tarot card and then you get that archetype, it's going to tell you about the nature of what you're dealing with.
Uh-huh.
So very much in the I Ching, what the Bagua are, they're going to tell you what flavor your situation is because of their frequencies. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So they're really used in the I Ching to determine what is this that I'm dealing with, right, in terms of when you do your divination.
Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier about the feng shui mirrors and concave and convex, so why don't you share with the audience the difference between the two and how they can utilize them.
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I Ching was involved in all the feng shui stuff, too, so you can even use it in that method if you want to use it for divination. I know it's really popular in California, the feng shui.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about other spots. But so the mirrors basically are either attracting or repelling energy, okay? Mm-hmm. If you have a concave mirror, that's trying to pull energy in. If you have a convex mirror, it's trying to repel it out, right? So mm-hmm. you can place those mirrors strategically. Like a lot of people will put the convex ones on the door to try to keep out bad guys, right? Because they're trying mm-hmm. to push away that energy. So just as an example, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you can, they'll put the concave ones like near some good luck sign to bring in the good luck. Yeah.
Okay. I've seen the town that I live in is about, I would say 85% Asian, and you go around town and you can see the different baguas and the magic mirrors, and you know, and it's
yeah.
very interesting once you understand what you're looking at, how it affects the energy overall. Because sometimes you could just be
yes.
oblivious and, you know, just go through life being heavy. But once you understand what is going on, it's quite interesting, very, very interesting. Now, in your book, you talk about the language, the secret language of the serpents. And you talk about serpents and you talk about demons. So which one do you want to talk about first, the serpents or the demons?
Yeah. The serpents first. This is so
okay.
fun. I love it. Right? So one of the things that I've discovered, and this was something I talked about in my familiars book that I think we mentioned, is that there are these kind of, you know, beings that people have interactions with, especially when they're doing divination or magic work, specifically the oracles. So as I was researching all of the old oracles, which of course is a tradition of mainly women, although sometimes men,
uh-huh.
Getting a familiar spirit through which they would be able to conduct information or data, sometimes data as important as agriculture, music, language, mathematics, right? So
mm-hmm.
kind of big-time knowledge that for most people is a little mysterious how humans came across it, right? So, mm-hmm. but in the history of oracle traditions, if you look at where they say this data is coming from, it's almost unilaterally serpents or dragons. So if we look at the Oracle of Delphi, she's getting it from this thing called the Python, which of course is where we get our word for the Python snake.
Uh-huh.
And the cave that she was operating out of was called the Pythia, right?
Uh-huh.
If we look at the Hermetic tradition in Egypt, it was all from dragons as well. If we look at where alchemy information comes from, it was from a giant fiery serpent dragon called Poimanders, right? And if we look at in China, where the I Ching comes from, like, because I'm always like, you know, I'm a source freak. I got to know where does this come from? Who said this, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I want to fact check and get down to the bottom of it, like Nancy Drew. So when you go into where does the I Ching come from, you find out it comes from these people that are half serpent. And the name of the couple, it's a couple. So there's two of them. It's Futsu and Nuwa. And you can see the images of them. So they're half human. And then they have these like serpent tails. And Futsu, when he says where he got the I Ching from, he says it's from a dragon or a giant serpent. Right?
Uh-huh.
Now, of course, in China, they have dragons all over the place. This is like a big deal. And in my familiars book, I talked about in some areas of China, they even feel like dragons are their ancestors or part uh-huh. of their family. So now that's pretty crazy statement there, right? That makes you go like, well, hold on a minute. What are they talking about, and why are there these dragons and serpents everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
So 100% the serpent source of the I Ching is undeniable, and that itself is interesting, but then it gets compounded by the fact that the majority of oracle systems and divination in general say the same thing, right? So to transition into the daemon or demon conversation, right?
Uh-huh.
We see that if we go back to people who talk about demons, it actually comes from this word daemon,
uh-huh.
spelled D-A-I-M-O-N. And if you're familiar with Greek philosophy, you may have heard this before, because Socrates talked at length about his daemon. And it was so famous, and he actually talked to the Oracle of Delphi as well, who had one of these serpent things.
Uh-huh.
So Socrates says his daemon basically just gives him data, gives him information, tells him when he's in danger. It's like, you know, like a guardian angel, kind of, essentially. And so if we look at these descriptions of these daemons, which later the West calls demons, they were actually these kind of overseers that would help people and give them information. And then later were used for drawing lots or divination. If we look at the etymology of daemon, it means to separate into like pieces or divide, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's where, I don't know if you're familiar with drawing lots, that's where they kind of use sticks. Have
yeah.
you heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and people call it like your lot in life,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a lot of these kind of references to it in a lot of the fairy talk as well about lots or drawing lots. It used to be a very popular divination practice. And in fact, for I Ching, they used to use yarrow sticks. So it was really like
mm-hmm.
drawing lots, essentially, was what they were doing. So
mm-hmm.
this all goes back to these practices that essentially were about speaking with serpents and getting knowledge from serpents, right?
Okay.
Pretty weird.
Yeah, it is. Well, folks, let me remind you that we're speaking with Amaja Diu, and the book we're talking about is The Occult I Ching, The Secret Language of Serpents, and you can always find out more information about her by going to her website, and that is witchofthedawn.com. Again, that's witchofthedawn.com. Now, Amaja, you know, we talk about the daemon or the demon, and when we think about it here in the West, automatically, for most people, something negative arises within us, like, oh, no, that's bad, that's evil. How did it grow from being a very positive source to something that we now consider overall as negative? Did religion or Christianity have a play in that?
Pretty much exclusively.
I don't
like to,
pesky religion again.
I know. But it seems like it's really the only reason why that happened. And it was in early Christianity, there was this thing called Gnosticism. Have you heard of the Gnostics?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, right? And they actually had all this serpent stuff in it, and it was included in a lot of the early Jesus material, and Christian writings included a lot of this.
Uh-huh.
And then you really see this harsh demarcation line where it becomes separated and gets categorized as evil. And I'll tell you, the exact moment that this happens is also when they murder all the oracles. Dun,
ah,
dun, dun.
Okay, so it's really about control.
Yes, correct. And at that time, there was no longer women priestesses allowed.
Oh,
so
okay.
the demonization of the daemon corresponded with eliminating female priestesses in religion. Weird,
uh-huh.
right? Yeah, so became a practice that was not acceptable.
Uh-huh.
If you were hearing voices that were not your own, it was considered mental illness, right?
Yes.
So there was this complete taboo placed upon these practices, which I would argue extends into modern times, although now it's regaining popularity as of late. as you know, more movements are just doing these practices and they're finding all this weird stuff happens. So I feel like the legacy of that, you know, hey, I mean, we can look at the I Ching as an example. This is a book that dates, you know, to 6500 BC. It wasn't translated into English until the 1950s. If you can imagine, right?
Yeah.
This is a book that was literally used by emperors of China to run their government for years, and we don't see it translated to English until 1950 from the German, by the way.
Like, before, not even from the Chinese.
Not even directly from Chinese. It went, there was a Jesuit priest who went to China. He was a missionary. And one of my favorite things he says, he says, I was so happy I couldn't convert any Chinese to Christianity because they had so much knowledge in their Taoism that they just didn't care about converting to Christianity. So he was unsuccessful in his mission. But what he did bring back was the I Ching. His name was Richard Wilhelm, and he was also friends with Carl Jung. So, of course, most people have heard of Carl Jung, the famous psychotherapist. And Carl Jung wrote the first foreword to the first edition of the I Ching, which was done in German. And then the Germans loved it, and it was very popular in Germany. There was, at the same time, these German scientists who were studying DNA who got a hold of the I Ching, and they found, which this is also in the book, they found that the I Ching operates under the same sequencing as DNA does. So there's all this amazing data from the Germans who started really, and that ironically was almost the same year that they discovered DNA. So we have Crick and Watson, the two scientists. I don't know if you know much about that, but they basically, you know, were taking drugs and had a dream.
Altered reality.
Right?
Right?
And then they had a dream and they saw what DNA was. And that was, I believe, like 1953 or something around that time, which was literally within the like 1 or 2 years of the I Ching getting its translation. Really weird, right? And then the I Ching also mirrors DNA.
Okay, because you talk about in your book the structure of DNA and the I Ching are nearly identical. Both the DNA and the I Ching are made up of four base pairs that combine in 64 different combinations. And I guess if we use this information, we're able to kind of like acupuncture, kind of release the blocks, release the demons, if you will.
That is correct. And there are several Chinese researchers and doctors who have made entire acupuncture systems to do just that. If you go and investigate online, you can find them, but they've literally found different acupuncture combinations based on the I Ching to do that that type of work.
Okay, so the I Ching is very positive. It's not dark. It's not harmful. It utilizes the energy of the serpent to help us see the light, so to speak.
Yes, I would absolutely. It's so clear. Like, you know, I love tarot and astrology also, but the I Ching really doesn't mess around or, you know, kind of go around a corner. It's very straightforward. I'll just give you an example of some of the readings I've gotten and how crazy they are in terms of matching right up, right? One of the stories I tell in the book was I had this client and she had a book that she had just bought at a store. And the question she had for the I Ching was, what is in this book? Because she wanted to know if it was worth reading. I Ching answers with hexagram 30, which is literally an image of a bird on fire or a burning bird. So inside the book is a bookmark with a phoenix on it. So the I Ching is literally answering, she says, what's inside the book? It says a phoenix, which was in fact true, because there was a phoenix on the bookmark that was inside of the book. So it's
okay.
Very direct. And another one I got that was kind of funny was I had this client, and she was asking about her business and about, like, what was happening with her business. So the I Ching responds with a hexagram that is a secret garden, or literally a garden inside of an enclosure. So I laughed out loud, and I asked her, are you growing plants inside? And then I said, oh, my gosh, you're growing marijuana. And she started laughing. It was totally true. And it was, like, exactly what the picture was that the I Ching answered with. So in my experience, it doesn't give these obscure, esoteric responses. They're usually literal, right?
To the point. To the point.
To the point. Direct.
Okay. Well, you know what, Maja, there's many, if you go online, there's many websites where you can, you know, click the button and three coins show up, or there's apps for that. Is it any difference between using those sources as opposed to going out and getting coins? Because in your book, you talk about you can use pennies or quarters or even Chinese coins. So walk us through how to give ourselves, like, a little mini I Ching reading.
Yes, absolutely. I do feel like the apps work just as well when I use them. However, I recommend people use the coin method first, because it's better to develop a relationship with the I Ching. And that, I feel like that's true of any divination style. You kind of, like, got to get to know it like a friend, you know, to kind of first. So if you're going to do an I Ching reading, it's very simple. You just need three coins. Like you mentioned, they can be any kind of coin. You can use pennies, quarters. I have Chinese coins that I use. And then you throw the coins six times, and that generates each of the six lines, essentially. And there's a lot of information you can see for exactly how to determine that. But essentially what it is it's an algorithm that uses binary numbers, yin, yang, right? So you're just generating a sequence, which is kind of like a computer program. And there was a lot of stuff, too, that showed, I mentioned in the last essay in my book, how a lot of computer programming arose from these binary number systems, and the I Ching was arguably involved in some of those early computing techniques. But you're just generating, by throwing the coins, you'll either get a yin or a yang, and you do it six times, and that gives you the reading. So it's pretty easy.
Okay. So folks, go out there, and I would suggest the Chinese coins, because I think it's a little bit easier to interpret.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about, well, is it right, wrong, you know, or whatever. It's right there in front of you. And then, you know, or at the very least, you know, do an app. But I like the feel of the coin, because I feel, and this is my control freak thing, I have more control of throwing the coin as opposed to clicking the button for the app. But I guess both could be equally well. Now, when you're doing this, what is the spiritual implications for the I Ching? You know, we get the information. How does the spirituality of it all come into play?
That is a wonderful question. For me, I have found you can use I Ching like a guru or a teacher, right? Most people, when we ask divination systems questions, it'll be, you know, about our jobs or our relationships or our health, these kind of, like, you know, practical questions. But you can ask the I Ching about spirit, about the universe, about nature, about what your spiritual path is, how to, like, do correct decisions. So, like, on that level, you can literally use the I Ching as a spiritual guidance system. But in terms of just the action of using the I Ching, what it does is has a couple levels. First of all, you learn to find your intuition, right? So you learn to connect, which I think pretty much any divination system does. You come into right? A strengthening of your knowing. And like you said, you start to see it outside yourself too. Eventually you can discard the divination systems because you start to see it living and breathing all around you, right? When you get to that kind of level with it and it's anchored into you. So it develops your intuition. Secondly, is it starts to help you with your sense of wonder, right? Of that, like, well, why does that happen? So it's really like the questions, which is kind of the quest. So once you get answers for certain questions, what I have found and seen with my clients as well, they start to develop, evolve, and grow because some nagging question like, why do I always date the same person, or why can't I move forward in my life, right? They start to get answers to these questions that help them move through them. So it actually is a tool for your progress, really towards like your purpose or destiny, because you'll kind of solve these puzzles that you may keep running into, right? I'm sure you see that with a lot of your work as well.
Yes, I do.
Yes. So it really just helps people to evolve.
Okay. Well, folks, you know, again, the book is The Occult I Ching, The Secret Language of the Serpents. And if you go to page 43 in the book, that's where she actually starts talking about the different hexagrams, if you will. And the first one is the dragon. And when you look at it, it has the lines that represent the dragon. She has a picture drawn, I guess it's a Chinese script. And it's like the breath of heaven, as above, so below. And then she also does something what I feel is very unique, in that she writes down for each hexagram the tarot card that is correlated with it. So you're getting the information, or at least it worked for me, where I got the information several different ways. Okay,
yes.
I was able to interpret it. And it's like, oh, that aha moment came, and you were able to get your own information. And again, this isn't something where you just want to play at, okay? This is a system that, if you're open to it, you want to bring it into your psyche, learn it, devour it, digest it, because it will serve you very well. You'll get your own answers, and they'll be true answers, not answers that you wish would happen. Now, Marja, you're a shaman in addition to everything else that you do. Talk to us a little bit about what a shaman is and how you utilize, and I think you've already answered it, but how you utilize the I Ching with your shamanism work.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, my teacher is Mi'kmaq indigenous. His name is Dr. Calvin DeWolf, and his techniques are very different. And he has his techniques on the paradigmofpower.com, which is his website. And he studied Chinese medicine too. And so we talk a lot about the I Ching in relation to a lot of the shaman stuff. So with divination, you're kind of asking questions and engaging with your mind, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of intellectual or mental, because it's talking, it's mind. With the shamanic work, it's much more physical, about going in through reality, right? There's no, like, go-between. So if when you're doing divination, I would say there's a little bit of a go-between, because you're passing through this communication and language, whereas the shamanic work goes right into other dimensions of reality, is kind of the best way that I would describe it. So a lot of it is being able to see through certain things. Like if someone has a disease or, you know, something wrong with their body, you learn how to just like feel, see, perception, right? So a lot of those techniques are really about coming directly into your feeling and perception of it, and then being able to adjust it. So it's really got a lot of energy work involved. For me personally, that's a lot of Qigong and Neigong techniques, and he does those as well. He's done martial arts, I don't know, since he was like young, I think maybe 15 or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's, and it's real. It's like electromagnetic would be how I would describe it, right? So you're not visualizing or imagining or pretending. It's very much shamanic work, if it's real, isn't like you're going to a drum circle and imagining a field of daisies, right? So I know there's, I don't want to poo-poo visualization work because that has its own thing as well. But that's just not what this is.
Right.
It's very much where you go into a real electromagnetic experience is really how I would say. And if you're around someone who's a real practitioner, you can feel them. What will happen with me is they'll even be like a kind of distortion as I come by them. I mean, have you ever been to any real shamans yourself?
Yes, I have, and it's amazing when you enter their presence even, because your
That's
energy
feels... That's
what I
mean, right? You can
will,
feel it.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely feel it, and a couple of times I had to bring my energy level down. I don't know what that was about, but I'm like, no, let's just go and bring it in, you know, and other times I could just be, but, you know, that could have been me working through my crap, because we all got crap to work through, folks, okay? I don't care how...
Correct. Yes,
how,
me too.
Quote, spiritual you feel that you are, there is always something to learn. And if you feel there's nothing else to learn, well, then it's time for you to leave Earth because you came here to learn. At least that's my take on it anyway.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
But, yeah, it's palpable, right? It's
mm-hmm.
palpable, and it's energetic. So
yeah.
I love divination, and it's such a good place to interact. And I would say, like, the main difference is one is kind of working through mental revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is really like a direct entry into energy fields, right? I guess that's the best way I would say.
Okay. So how can the I Ching help us today in this world of here in the United States, we're dealing with that orange man in the White House. They've got the blonde... very interesting personality person over in England. There's other places around the world where there are dictators just like the two that I talked about that don't call themselves dictators. So how can we utilize this energy, number one, to help us understand what's going on, and then maybe number
yes.
two, to see through and to the other side of what's going on?
So good. And the I Ching is a powerful tool for finding truth. Right?
So mm-hmm.
I feel like one of the best things currently, I mean all time really, but certainly presently, there's a lot of issues with people being able to see and know and feel what's true
mm-hmm.
versus maybe what someone's opinion or bias or what someone says is correct or says is true. A lot of misleading stuff, right? Either due to tech or just you know, people being opportunistic, but
uh-huh.
so I feel the result is people are having a difficult time finding what's really true. I Ching is a wonderful way to find that objective truth that isn't going to be based on someone else's personal idea of what is true and needed
uh-huh.
and correct, right? So
uh-huh.
we don't have to rely on those things. We can all come into a place of knowing and, like you said, see through agendas, see through misleading news or
uh-huh.
data that we may come across, and we can find that truth. And I find the I Ching to be a powerful tool in helping to cut through all that and then also be able to find out, like, what your best role can be within that and how you can perform and what you can do.
Okay, so it's a tool to be used to help yourself. It's not a fortune-telling tool per se.
It can do both. I found that it has accurate data in terms of that, and usually you can use techniques that will nail it to time periods,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, with the fortune-telling, I don't know about you, but I find things are malleable, and I'm a free willer. So
exactly.
I feel like choices and are, you know, the things that we do can have a difference. Like you, I say, I use it to see the direction it's heading to know if I need to steer the ship
alter
different.
The course.
Does that
yes.
make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, before I let you go, I want to talk to you about the magic that you do, because you're a very strong magician. Talk to us about what you do and how you utilize magic in your life.
Oh, sure. Yes. Happy to. For me personally, it's about nature. So I'm a nature witch.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of different practices that folks have. But for me, since I was young, I had a big connection with nature, and so I feel and like to be in the nature. So most of the magic that I do operates in terms of seasons, in terms of the wind or water or elements. I use it for clarity,
mm-hmm.
for, you know, so because the big thing with me and why I even like divination, I want to know the truth, like what's real. I use magic to, you know, show reality, like what is really going on. So it's kind of a, instead of pulling the rabbit out of the hat, I like to pull the truth out of the hat.
There you go. I love that.
Because that usually fixes most things, okay? So if people are having issues or something's weird or not right, usually there's some kind of untruth happening, right? Or the energy is weird. So nature likes to balance energy, likes to harmonize. So when I do nature magic, it works on harmony, homeostasis, trying to just set everything back into place. So that's mostly what I focus on.
Okay. And are you accepting clients today, now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My website is witchofthedawn.com, as you mentioned, and I have most of my prices on there and information. People are welcome to email me anytime.
Okay, so folks, you know, do yourself a favor and, you know, as I say, make an investment in yourself, because I haven't looked to see how much she charges. You can do that and figure out how to budget that for yourself. But it's important these days to make some type of investment in yourself that's outside of yourself in order to make yourself better. And I'm not just talking about the mundane everyday life that we're living. It also helps you grow exponentially on the spiritual level as you get information that will assist you. And please beware of the person or the entity that says, oh, I'm going to fix everything and it's going to be just fine. Because, folks, that's impossible, or at least in my opinion. What do you think, Maja?
Oh, how can you fix everything? There's so many things, right? There's too many. But, like I said, you can harmonize. That's a good place to start, right? Harmony has the low notes, too. It's not perfect, but it kind of gets everything moving, and that might be good enough.
Yes, very well said. And with that, my dear, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for being with us today as we talked about the I Ching and got a clearer understanding. Folks, this is an excellent book that gives you a lot of history, a lot of instruction, and it's almost like pinpointed, you know, idiot proof if you decide to pick up the book. And again, learn through it. It's not a read through book, it's a learn through book. So thank you very much, Maja, for bringing this to us. I greatly appreciate your time today and your energy for writing the book.
Oh, my pleasure so much, Monique. As always, you're fabulous to talk to.
Thank you. And for the audience, I want to thank you for being with us today as we collectively get over it. If you're ready to raise your vibration and shift your energy, you can give Maja a call or call me. If you call me, intuitive consultations 30 minutes or longer are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. Make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of discovering the occult I Ching. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.